Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nidor Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins from the very top of Daf Lamed. It's important to bear in mind that this Sugya is a continuation of that which we learned in our last Shiur on Daf Chof Tes. We saw a discussion concerning a woman who had given birth and had experienced 3 weeks of Tahara in our presence, followed by 10 weeks of alternating weeks, Tomei Tohor, Tomei Tohor. And we saw Beis Shammai say that this woman will have 95 tevilos, immersions in a mikveh. Beis Hillel mentioned 35. And our Gemara today is actually a continuation, presupposing that you are familiar with our sugya from last time. So with all of that in mind, we also have some markings to explain. On our Mivneh heading, that's in the outside margin, you notice we say Mivneh, and we have a triangle featured. And in parentheses, we've written Ma'akav. This is an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara. With the point facing up, those are Shelos, questions, and when it's flipped over, point facing downwards, Tshuvos. So these are Shelos and Tshuvos al HaProtim Shenizkru B'Braisleo Reish Chof Tes Omid Beis. Questions and answers regarding the details mentioned in the Braisa from Daf Chof Tes Omid Beis. So we begin our Gemara. Michti, Yemei Tahara Kamo Havu. When dealing with a female birth, and we certainly took that into consideration when we had this woman come in front of us after having experienced a birth, maybe she gave birth to a female child, and that being the case, besides the 2 weeks of Tumah, there follows 66 days of Tahara. So how long do the Yemei Tahara, that means for us that any a woman after giving birth to a female child, from the Torah standpoint, not practical halacha, because as we've mentioned a few times in Maseches Nida, we, in the course of Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shir, we do not discuss applied halacha, but as far as the Torah halacha is concerned, a woman, after the 2 weeks of Tumah, any blood she experiences will not result in Tumah, but she is considered Tahora. So how long does that Tahara period last? So we say it is Shisin V'Shisa, that's 66 days, for a total of 80 days, the 14 days of Tumah and the 66 days of Tahara. Dal Shavua Shlishi Da'at Belinon Lo. Subtract from the number 66 7 days of tevila, of immersion, that took place at night. We have to point out that what we are talking about right now is the opinion of Beis Shammai that at the end of the 80-day period, namely at the end of the 66 days of Tahara, the woman is expected to immerse herself in a mikveh. Beis Hillel disagrees. But this is called a Tvulas Yom Oruch, and every day that she is in our presence, we consider that maybe this is the last day of her Yemei Tahara, and hence there would be the need for a mikveh immersion because of the conclusion of the Yemei Tahara. So we have accounted so far for the third week that she is in front of us, which is in effect the beginning of the 66 days, she already was Toveles 7 nights. Poshu Lehu Shisin Nechichada. 60 minus 1, but for our purposes it means 59. There remain 59 days. Shisin Nechichada 59 Utlosin Vehei, and plus 35, which is the number of Tevilos that she experienced during the first 3 weeks that she was with us. This, of course, is all information that we learned in detail in our previous Shiran Dav Chof Tes, so we're taking the liberty of moving on right now. 59 days of Tara, each one of which might be the last day of her Tara period, plus the 35 Tevilos that she performed during the first 3 weeks. 35 plus 59 equals Tishim V'dalet Havyon. That equals 94. Tishim V'chamesh Mai Avititai. What's the nature of 95? In the source on Daf Chof Tes Omid Beis at the top, we saw that according to Beis Shammai, she immerses herself 95 times over the course of this period of time. But why 95 when 94 would seem to be sufficient? Answer: Omar Rav Yirmiyahu Difti, Kagoin Shebos Lefonenu Bein Hashmoshes. The case involves the woman having come to us, as is featured in the story at the top of Chof Tes Omid Beis. She came to us at the period called Bein Hashmoshes. This is at the end of the day, at the beginning of the night. We might term it dusk. It's a period of time that is called a Sufik Yom, Sufik Laila. So since it might be, in fact, the end of the day, Diavinon Lo Tevila Yeserta, we say that she should immerse herself at that day also. So that would add one more day to the counting. So since she came to us at Bein Hashmoshes, it would be appropriate for her to be Toiveles on the assumption that maybe that is the last of the Yemei Tohar. So we continue in the Gemara. Ule Beis Hillel, a new question. De Amri Tevulas Yom Oruch Loi Boi Tevila. According to Beis Hillel, there is no need for the Tevila at the end of the Tahara period. The end, that period of Tahara is known as Tevulas Yom Oruch. So, according to Beis Hillel, that there's no need for that. Lamed Hei, or 35, Mai Aviditayu. What is, how do we account for 35 Tevilos of Beis Hillel? Answer: Esrim v'tanya kidamoran, 28 tefillos we have already accounted for, and those are as follows. The first week, there's 7 nighttime tefillos because of the possibility that she had given birth to a zohar, to a male child. And that first week, in other words, any day of that first week might be the 7th day since she gave birth. The second week, there are 7 daytime tefillos because of the possibility of her having given birth to a male child when she was also a zava. So she needs to be tovelis after the shiva nikiyim of the ziva. So it could be that the first week that she was in our presence without any blood sightings actually fulfilled the 7 Nikiyim for the Ziva, and starting with the beginning of the second week, that would be the first opportunity for her to immerse herself for the completion of the Shiva Nikiyim of Ziva. So the second week, there are 7 daytime Tevilos to cover the Zov. There are 7 nighttime Tevilos during the second week because she may have been a Yoledes Nekeva. That accounts for now another 14, so it's 7 and 14, 21. And on week 3, there are 7 daytime tefillos, because she may have been a woman who was a zava who gave birth to an akeva. That accounts for 28. Hach shavua chamishis, the 5th week that she's in front of us, matbelinon kol lelio velelio. We have her go to a mikveh every night of the 5th week. The 5th week is a week in which she does not see any blood. The 4th week she having saw blood. The 5th week, every night might be the end of a nida period. So she would go to the mikveh. So that's 7 more. So we have 28 and 7 is 35. Let's read that line again. Hach shavua chamishi, matbelinon kol leilo veleilo. The 5th week she goes to mikveh every night. Amar, thinking sof nida hi, that it's the end of a nida period. Don't forget, we had a diagram or chart on daf choftes at the bottom of the page in order to make this a little easier to follow. Continuing in the Gemara, a new question. Asorah Shavuin Lomali. We had, in addition to the first 3 weeks that she was with us, the source on Choftes Amud Beis mentioned there are an additional 10 weeks with alternating weeks of Tuma and then Tara, Tuma and Tara. When we say Tuma, we mean blood sighting. Tara means no blood sighting. In order to construct the Machlokis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai accounts for a total of 95 tevilos, because he is taking into consideration that any given day might be the end of an 80-day period. So in creating a model, all we really have to do is create a model that has in it 80 days. And we would say that in the extreme scenario, the day that she came to us, in fact, was the day she had given birth. So 80 days later would be the end of the labor period. And that whole scheme slides backwards, where maybe not the day she came in front of us was the day she gave birth, but maybe 5 weeks before she came to us, she had given birth. So that the conclusion of the Yemei Leda would end earlier. But to cover all bases, we consider that maybe the day she came to us, she had given birth to an Akeva. So all we have to do is create a model that has 80 days on it. Well, how do you... In 80 days... is you don't need to have a total of 13 weeks for that. So that in addition to the first 3 weeks, which accounts for 21 days, we have to account for another 59 days. Well, how do you account for another 59 days? Very simply, 8.5 weeks would be enough. 8 times 7 is 56, plus another 3, 8.5 weeks. So the Gemara asks, Asora Shavuin, the 10 additional weeks on our chart, if you will, from Daf Choftes, Lomali, what do I need 10 more weeks after the first 3 weeks she's with us? Betamnu Palka Sagi, 8.5 weeks would have been enough to complete the 80-day model. The Gemara answers, if you want to know why we have 10 weeks on our model, Ivi Detona Palga de Shavua, since we had to make reference to half a week, in other words, half of the 9th week, 8 weeks is 56 days. 3 more days is into the 9th week. So since you already mentioned half a week, so masik lei, they finish it off. The idi, the tona, so that we finish off the 9th week. And that 9th week happens to be a week that she was seeing blood. So we don't want to end off with a bloody week, if you will. So we add another week where there is no blood seen. That's why the source presents a model containing the 10 additional weeks that she is with us, in addition to the first 3 weeks that we had mentioned she had no blood sighting whatsoever. The Gemara asks, V'ho'iko tvilas zova. Let us glance at the Rashi to appreciate this. Rashi you'll find on the lower part of the page. Tvila zova, on the line, first of the widest lines, Rashi says, the chol shavua tome, every week that she experiences a blood sighting. We saw week number 4, week 6. We were alternating weeks. So iko lisfuke beziva. Those weeks, we consider that maybe she was a zova. Levad mishavua revi'i. Besides the fourth week. The fourth week, she could not have been a zova. She ata yochol lisapchei b'kach. You can't have that as a possibility. Capriciously ill, as was explained earlier. She'ein zova elo li'achar nidus. You don't have ziva unless you had a nidus period preceding it. V'zulurasa klum ad horavi. We have a woman who had not seen any blood until the fourth week. V'chol shavua tohor ika lisfuki b'mei sfiras zivasa. And every tohor week, you know, is after the sixth week. The fifth week being tohor, that's fine. That's not associated with the ziva. But the seventh week, which followed the sixth week, that sixth week might have been a week of ziva. And hence, every week of tahara that follows might be the seven nikiyim needed to count for ziva. Ubayale mitbal b'yoyim shvi'i shel kol shavua tohor. And that would necessitate a tvila for every day seven of each one of those tohor weeks. So the Gemara is asking, well, we didn't mention that counting, and the Tfilas Zava, by the way, takes place during the daytime. So we didn't make any reference to a Tfilas Zava in our countings. The Gemara answers, Dilifnei Tashmish Kochoshiv, Dilachar Tashmish Lo Kochoshiv. In our discussion on Choftes, we were interested only in mentioning the Tvilos that precede the intimacy. And intimacy was mentioned on day 35. There was intimacy. Tvilos after that are of no concern to us. Now, this explanation is appropriate for Beis Hillel, who accounted for their 35 Tvilos, all taking place before the act of intimacy that was mentioned back there on Daf Choftes. The additional tefillos that we just attempted to suggest for the conclusion of the Zava, those are tefillos after day 35. Question: Ula beis Hillel de Choshev de la'achar tashmish beis Shammai. That is Ula beis Shammai de Choshev de la'achar tashmish. We saw beis Shammai saying that there was a need for a tefilla for every day that might be the end of her leidah period. Every possible day that might have been day 80. So he accounts for tvilos after Tashmish, Nachshav Nami Tvila Zava. So why doesn't he add to his 95 all these extra immersions for Ziva, end of Nikiyam for Ziva? Three more answers. Beleido Komairi, Beziva Lo Komairi. We are speaking about tefillos that are birth related and not ziva related. Question: Voiko yoledes bezov. Well, during the second and third weeks, we had immersions because we were entertaining the possibility she had given birth as a zova. So those are zova related immersions. The Gemara answers: Yoledes bezov kachoshiv, ziva greitza lo kachoshiv. In considering Zava in the conjunction with birth, that we will consider and count those tvilos. However, the tvilos after that period, beyond the third week, and technically speaking, from the seventh week on, where we said those would count as weeks of Tara, those are only Ziva considerations, that Ziva Greitza, Ziva alone, is not mentioned. Question: Shvuasa kamo de asya lekamon. the first week that she is in our presence. Lit bala v'yoyma, let there be daytime tevilos. Dilma koyoyma v'yoyma, maybe each one of those days shlimu la sfurim dida. Maybe those are the end of her yemei leida. The Gemara answers, Ha moni, Rabbi Akiva hi, Yomar bo'in on sfurim b'fanenu. This is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva that says the counting must be in our presence. Just a correction with regard to this last suggestion that the first week that she is in front of us, why not have, in addition to the nighttime tevilos, an additional daily daytime tevilah, because of the end of her sfurim, those are the days of Nikiyam that one would count if she had been a zava. So is it not so that any one of those first any one of those days of the first week there would be a daytime tevilah which is characteristic of a zava immersion? So why is that not accounted for? So we answered that the source is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva that says that the Shiva Nikiyam that one needs to count after a Ziva period must be counted in our presence. So she doesn't have a full 7 days in our presence that she can take advantage of as being considered her Nikiyam. That starts only with the second week. When she completed a full week in our presence of being blood free. Question: Soif Shavua Kama Litbala. Why doesn't she immerse herself on day 7, the last day of the first week that she is in our presence? Because after all, day 7 is the 7th day of Nikiyam, and a Zava is entitled to immerse during the daytime. So the Gemara answers, Chad b'shavua lo komairi. We are not interested in accounting for a one-time tevilah, in other words, one time during a week. We're interested in counting group tevilas, tevilas that there are more than one during any given week. But this one daytime tevilah, at the end of the first week would be a once in a week immersion, and hence it's not counted. The Gemara asks, Yuma kamo da asya lekamon litbala dilma shemeres yom keneged yom hi. Well, you know, as far as what was just said before, that a daytime tefillah on the 7th day would be a one-time shot, not necessarily. Why not have her immerse herself the first day that she comes, that she had come into our midst? That first day might count, might be a day which we know is a non-blood day that had followed a ziva day, a singular ziva day, which by Torah law requires for every blood sighting on a ziva day, she must observe one clean day. In contrast, so that the first day she arrived in our presence and she had not seen any blood that day, let her immerse herself, so that during that first week we would have, in effect, have two tevilos, one the first day and another one on the 7th day. The pshat that we are using here is supported by something that you can see in the Tosfos, Divur HaMasel Yuma Kama. So the question remains, why is it that she doesn't immerse herself on the first day and is in fulfillment of what is expected of a Shemeris Yoim Keneged Yom, a woman who had one Ziva sighting keeps the next day as a clean day and immerses? So the Gemara answers, B'zova gedoy lo komairi, B'zova ketana lo komairi. In the source that we are analyzing from Daf Chof Tes Omid Beis, that source is interested in noting immersions associated with a Zava Gadola. A Zava Gadola is a woman who had 3 consecutive blood sightings during the Ziva days, and not a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, which is known as a Zava Ketana, whereby a woman has only 1 or 2 days of blood sighting, which necessitates not Shiva Nikiyus, but only 1 day of Nikiyus. At this point, the Gemara now takes stock of what we have learned and what we've explained regarding the source from Daf Chof Tes. Shema Mino Tzlas, we can arrive at 3 conclusions. Number 1, Shema Mino Rabbi Akiva Hi. This source is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. Diomar Bo'inon Sfurim Bifonenu. This is a point we just made a few lines ago. That as a result of the numbers given, we had 95 tefillos for Beis Shammai and 35 for Beis Hillel, and not any more. Well, that's not any more, namely the first week we had no daytime tefillos. That's because we're learning, that source is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, that insists on having the clean days that follow a Zava period being counted in our presence, and that's not the case in this woman who came from afar. Ushma Mino, second conclusion, Reb Shimon Hi, that the source is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon as well. The Omar, Avo Omru Chachomim Osu Lasis King Shemo Tovo Lidei Sofek. This is a point that was made on Chof Tes Amid Beis. You notice we have a little arrow with an indication to look at Chof Tes Amid Beis, where you will notice at the lower part of Chof Tes Amid Beis this comment, where the Gemara had suggested a tevila which would have been a daytime tevila at the end of a Zava period, that we ruled she should not do that, because in the event that she does a daytime tefila in anticipation of conducting intimacy, if she would have a blood sighting later that day before sundown, retroactively, she will be considered a zava and having had relations in a prohibited fashion all retroactively. So that is as a result of our not accounting for this extra tevila, we came on to saying that the source was in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, who says that one should not do that. Do not do that daytime tefila with the fear of a blood sighting later that day causing retroactive tumah. If what we're saying now is not so clear, let me just emphasize that we're basing on our shir on the assumption that Daf Chof Tes was learned and was clear. Ushma Mino, a third conclusion, Tvila Bizmano Mitzvah. This is true according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, as we explained back on Daf Chof Tes Amid Beis, and Rashi there pointed this out, that we are encouraging or insisting on all of these tevilos on the assumption that any given day might be the time for the tevila. And we're trying to catch it or nail it on its head, get the tefila right at the expected time, and hence we have all of these multiple tefilas, because any one of these days might be the first opportunity for the tefila, and that's called tefila bizmana mitzvah. Now there's another opinion that we saw, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer Daya l'tefila b'achrona. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says that there is no need for all of these tefilos. It would be sufficient if she is tovel at the end of the period. The lo amrinon tevila bizmano mitzvah. And according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, you can see we don't say that there is a mitzvah fulfilled by being tovel at the first opportunity, but rather the tevila could be done even if it's later, and still you are fulfilling your requirements. We now encounter a new Mishnah on the side of our page. On the margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Hamapelis Shilyo Biyom Arboim or Arboim Ve'echod Mi Tevilasa. A woman who discharges a placenta on day 40 or on day 41 since she last went to the mikveh and had relations. So 40 days after relations, or 41 days after having relations, intimacy that is, she has this shulya discharge. Is this shulya representative of a formed child or not? And if it's not considered a formed child, in other words, the presence of the shulya is associated with the with a formed child. So if it's formed, so then the dinim of tumas leida will kick in. If it's not a formed child, it's too premature, then there would be no tumas leida. So the Mishnah says hamapeles. We should just another point make here that we have under our no say heading a machlokes tanakam Rabbi Shmuel bisman yitziras nikeva. There'll be a tanaic controversy between the first opinion and Rabbi Shmuel regarding how much time is needed for the formation of a female child. The Mishnah hamapeles liyoyim arboyim eino chosheshes levad. If a woman on day 40, namely 40 days after she had gone to the mikveh, after having given birth, she went to the mikveh, and 40 days after that she discharges a shulya, a placenta, she doesn't have to consider that this is a birth, a birth meaning a legal birth, because the child is not considered formed. It's not... The Tzuras HaVlad is not completed. That Tzuras HaVlad, the formation takes a full 40 days, and hence a discharge on day 40, you wouldn't have completed the 40 days. However, liyoim arboim ve'echod, if she has a placenta discharge on 41, teshev lazocher l'nekevu l'nida, she has to consider the possibility. It's not a certainty, but it's a possibility that she gave birth to an offspring. The beginning of the formation of an offspring is called a leida, and therefore she would have to observe the tumah associated with a female birth. That's 14 days, and she would have no yemei tohar because maybe there was no birth, and therefore right after the 14-day period, any blood she sees would make her into a nida. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yoim Mem Aleph, Teshev Lazocher Lenida, a placenta discharge on day 41, she would observe 7 Tumah days, and any blood after that she would become a Nida. Yoim Pe Aleph, if she had a placenta discharge on day 81, Teshev Lazocher Lenekeva Ulenida. Now she would have to observe 14 Tumah days, because after 81 days since she had her intimacy, that's enough time for the female formation. Shazocher nigmar lemem aleph, v'anekeva lepe aleph. The male is completed. When we say completed, it means we'll call it the basic embryo. Prior to that, it's viewed as water. So not a complete child, that takes 9 months. But we're talking about the Yetziras HaVlad is achieved when it comes to a male at day 41 and a female at day 81. These dates, once again, are the number of days that have lapsed since she had gone to the mikveh, which enabled her to have intimacy and hence conception with her husband. V'chachomim omrim, echod b'riyas hazochar v'echod b'riyas hanekeva, ze v'ze mem aleph. This opinion says there is no distinction between male and female. Both form after 41 days. 41 days is sufficient. The Gemara will ask that it seems that this opinion, this chachomim omrim, is the same as the first opinion, which mentioned on the second line of the Mishnah, that if she miscarries discharges on day 41, she has to observe the Tumah days for a Nekeva as well, meaning 14 days, so that according to the first opinion, a Nekeva is formed after 41 days. just like the opinion of the Chachamim. They seem to be one and the same, and that will arouse the Gemara to ask that question. Why the need to have the Chachamim in this Mishnah? The Gemara asks, Lomo huzgar zochor. Why does the Mishnah say that if she miscarries or discharges a placenta on day 41, she observes the days of the tumah days of a zochor as well as an akeva? Why do you mention zochor? Ili mei tumah, if it's to tell me that she has to observe tumah days, hakotani akeva. It says she observes for a nekeva. Now, the nekeva is 14 tumah days. 14 includes 7. So I don't gain anything by mentioning zohar if it's for tumah days. The e limei tara, and if it's to convey the idea that this woman, because we're in doubt whether she gave birth at all, does not get any tara days. Well, that now we go to the top of Omid Beis. Ha kotami nida. That's accomplished by the fact that the Mishnah says that she's teshe for nida also. Nida is a way of saying that there are no tohor days. At the completion of the 14 tumah days, any blood she sees will be considered nida blood. As opposed to a regular known childbirth situation, at the end of the tumah days, she would be given an extended period of tohor days. Any blood she sees would be considered tohor. But in our case, since we're in doubt, there are no tohor days. So why is there any need to say zohor in the Mishnah? The Gemara answers, for the following scenario, we understand why zohor is mentioned. She'im tireh yoyim lamedalid. If this woman sees blood on day 34, v'tachzor v'tire yoim mem aleph, and then sees blood on day 41, tehei mikukeles ad memches, until 48. So we have described a woman that had a discharge of a placenta. And of course, as we said, we don't know what that was. So the Gemara says the point of mentioning zohar is as follows. If she sees blood on day 34, namely 34 days after this discharge, and then she sees blood again on day 41, she is mikukeles. She doesn't know where she stands until day 48. Now, why is that? Well, if she sees blood on day 34, we don't know if, in fact, that's part of the Yemei Tahara of the woman. Maybe it was a male child, and that would be Tohar days, and that wouldn't count for, wouldn't have, make any difference. On the other hand, it might be that she didn't have any children, so that day 34 sighting would be Nida. And then she sees again on day 41. Now, if the sighting on day 34 was a Nida sighting, so then a sighting on day 41 would be the beginning of a Ziva period. However, if day 34 was Yemei Tohar, then day 41 is really the beginning of Nida. So the day 41 is unclear to us. Day 41 is the, if she had a Leida Zohar, so day 41 would be the beginning of the Nida period following a Leida Zohar. Hence, you can see the significance of having mentioned that she considers that maybe she had a Zohar birth. That would create this particular murky situation if this all took place, that after that that unknown birth, and we are considering it to have been a Zohar. She has a sighting on day 34, and then a sighting on day 41. We don't know what that sighting on day 41 is. Is it the beginning of the Nida period, because it's the first day after the Yemei Tohar of a Zohar, or is it the beginning of a Ziva period? So she'll then be in an unknown state until day 48. Namely, she'll have to have, after day 41, she would have to have 7 non-blood days, which would bring her to day 48, to know where she stands. V'chein le'inyan nekeva. The same type of doubt would arise because of the possibility of her having had a female birth. Shintira yoim ayin dalet. If she sees blood during day 74... Now, if it was a Nekeva birth, day 74 is nothing because it's part of the Yemei Tohar. She has until day 80. And then, V'tachso v'tira yom pei aleph. And then, after seeing on 74, she would have a sighting on day 81. Now, is that sighting of day 81 the first of the Nida period? Because day 74 was part of the Yemei Tohar? Or is day 74 the beginning of a Nida sighting because she didn't have a birth whatsoever, and hence day 81 would be the beginning of the Ziva period. Tehei mikulkeles ad peiches. She'll be in this unsure state until she reaches day 88. In other words, after having had a sighting on day 81, which might have been the beginning of a Nida period, she would then have been Tameah for those 7 days, getting her to day 88. Let us take a look at Rashi, who goes over these points on the top line. Hokatoni Nida, the Choldom of Shetira, the Choldom of Shetira Tameim, She'im Tire, the Yoim Lamedalid. If the woman would see on day 34, Rashi continues, V'tachzor v'tira liyoyim mem aleph, and she would see again on day 41, Teimikukeles ad mem ches, she will be unsure of where she stands until day 48. Shekeshiroasa liyoyim yudalil leidosa, when she saw blood on the 34th day since this discharge, Rashi continues on the third line from the top. Amrinon Tamea, we say she is Tamea. Afogavta kati mashli yamei tohar de zohar, even though the tohar days of a zohar birth would be, if it were so that she had a zohar child, it would be continuing through day 34 until day 40. Misafkinan lo belovlat, we are entertaining the possibility that she didn't give birth at all. The Teshev Lenida, and on, from day 34 she has to observe Nida, which means she'd be Tameah for 7 days. The Chihadr Chazia Leyom Mem Aleph, Shehu Ches Riyasa, when she sees again on day 41, which is 8 days after day 34, the Tirtzeliyot Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, and if she was in fact a Nida, so the sighting on day 41 would be the beginning of the Ziva period, which dictates observing one Tohar day for every Tuma, for every blood or Tome day that she has. Amrinon, we would then say, well, at this day 41, you're not a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, because Vlad Hoya, Vezachar Hoya, you did have a child. We're, of course, playing the two sides of the doubt, and say, well, you did have a child, and it was a male, Uriyo diom yudalid dam tohar hoihi, and the sighting that you had on day 34 was non-tome blood. V'hashtahu dehavya tchilas nida, on this day 41 is the beginning of your nida period. And that would mean from day 41, she is tameah for 7 days. V'hashtah mekalkalinan lo delo tovlo ad mem ches. And as a result of this, we won't allow her to go to mikveh. She won't immerse herself until day 48, Shehu Shmoina L'Ri'iyo Achrona, which is 8 days after the last sighting, which was on day 41. V'ilav Mishum Sveika de Zohar, if not for the possibility that you were dealing with a male birth, if that were not factored in, havetovlo lemochor liyoim membeis, she would have been able to go to the mikvah on day 42. Mimonafshach, either way you look at things. Ilav vlad hu, if she never gave birth and she had this sighting on day 34, and now you reached day 41, harei shemeres yoim keneged yoim hi, she, having seen on day 41, would have been the beginning of a ziva period, which tells us that okay, day 41 you saw, day 42 must be observed without blood. That's called a shemeres yom keneged yom. Harei shemeres yom keneged yom hi. Ve vlad hu unekevo hi, and if that birth was in fact a birth and it was a female, akati havedam toar, so the sighting on day 34 would have been of no consequence, ad shmoinim. As a result of this, we see usfeka de zohar mikalkila law, because we added the male into the picture, that messed things up for her, and as we saw, that meant that a sighting on day 34 followed by a sighting on day 41 would not enable her, she would not be able to go to the mikveh until day 48. And the same model applies to the nekeva, simply using day 74 and a sighting on day 74 and a sighting on day 81 as the appropriate example. Continuing with the Gemara, before we learn the Gemara, we have a note on the outside margin. Under our no say heading, we have noted Machlokes Chachomim v'Rabbi Shmuel. Kamos man liyitziras ubor zocher nekeva. How much time is necessary for the formation of an embryo, a male, a female? Lematzav she tame tumas ledo, enough formation level that its discharge or its birth, even though it's extremely premature, would impose tumas ledo. We have a source, and in this source there is some marking that is noteworthy, and we'll mention it when we get to it. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Ad Mem Aleph Teshev Lezochar Ulenida Tanya. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Timei V'tir B'Zochar V'timei V'tir B'Nekeva. The Torah imposes days of Tuma and days of Tara for a male birth, days of Tuma and days of Tara for a female birth. They happen to be the male birth, total of 40 days, made up of 7 days of Tuma, 33 days of Tara, total of 40. By the Nekeva, it's 14 days of Tuma and 66 days of Tara, total of 80. Ma kishetime v'tir b'zochar yitziroso kayotze bo, just like when, just in the case of of a male, we know everyone is in agreement that it takes 40 days for its formation, and those 40 days correspond to the summation of the Tuma and Tara days. So there's a parallel between the Tuma Tara days and days needed for formation. Af kishetime v'tir v'nekeva yitzirasa kayotze ba, so too there is a similar relation between the Tuma Tara days of a woman who gave birth to a female, which everyone, the Torah says, is 80 days, and the number of days needed for the formation of a female embryo, 80 days. So Rabbi Shmuel was coming to his conclusion regarding formation of female embryo based on the Tuma and Tara days that the mother experiences having had a female birth. Amru lo, the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Shmuel respond, Ein lemeidim yitzira mitumah. You don't conclude length of formation time from Tumah days that the mother is to observe as after a birth. Amru lo l'Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbanan went on arguing against Rabbi Shmuel, introducing an incident. And with our markings, we have on the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, the double underline, Amru lo, and you'll see later another Tanaic source where in fact Omar Lohem, Rabbi Shmuel, says something to them, and in each case, they each one brings a Maisa. And we've highlighted this with diamonds, with a colored in top and bottom. The point we're trying to draw your attention to, the fact that they are incidents brought from each side, bringing in an incident to support their own opinion. So on the under our Mivneh heading, you can see we featured these diamonds, and we've written Shnei Maisim Shel Bediko Achar Hamoves, two stories of a post mortem done. Levaru Kamazman Zokuk Yitzirus Vlad Nekeva, in order to determine how much time is needed for the formation of a female child, formation of the female embryo. The Gemara continues in the source, Amru lo Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbanan said to Rabbi Shmuel, don't forget, the Rabbanan are of the opinion that the Nekeva is just like the Zohar, that 40 days is sufficient. Maisa the Cleopatra Malchus Alexandrus, an incident involving this the queen Cleopatra of Alexandria. Shenischaivu Shifchoyse HaRigo LeMalchus. She had bondmaids that became guilty of capital punishment, a capital crime, and hence they are standing on death row. They are to be executed. Being that they are going to die anyway, so why not benefit from anatomical related knowledge that can be gained from these women? So Rashi points out that before their execution, they were mated with men in anticipation of their conceiving, and with the lapse of time between the conception and eventual execution, we will then be able to, upon opening up the victims of the execution, these two women, we will then be able to come to conclusions regarding development of fetus, fetal development. The Rashi that we look at this point is indicated with a star, Nischaivu Hariga, a few lines down from here in the Rashi. Since these women are on death row, Nisu Bohem, they conducted an experiment. The Chadum Lubia, they had these two women engage in intimacy, and following the intimacy, conception. The Korush Dam Lesoif Arboim, and the two women after they were executed, which took place 40 days after their relations. The Nimsa Echod Zohar VeEchod Nekeva, and lo and behold, they found one was pregnant with a female and one pregnant with a male. So now we continue in the source. So we said that they were Nischai v'Shevazal Ariga L'Machus U'Bodkon U'Motzu Zeveze L'Mem Aleph, and they found on day 41, in other words, they had experienced intimacy 41 days before, were then executed 41 days after the intimacy, opened up their wombs, and found in the two shifochas, the two bondmaids, one having a zohar and the other having a nekeva. So you see the formation of a nekeva on day 41. Omar Lohen, Rabbi Shmuel retorts, Ani mevi lochem raya min haTorah. I bring to you proof from the Torah. Ve'atem mevi'im li raya min haShoitim, and you bring to me proof from fools. The Gemara now explains, my raya min haTorah. What is Rabbi Shmuel's claim of bringing a proof from the Torah? Ilemo, if you're to think Timei v'tiher b'zochar v'timei v'tiher b'nekeva, etc., his argument that we saw above, trying to parallel formation time with tumah time, but the Rabbanon already responded and rejected that by saying ein domin yitzira mitumah. One does not conclude formation from tumah. So what did Rabbi Shmuel mean when he said, I bring proof from the Torah? Omar Kro. The answer is a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Yud Beis. It says there in pasuk Hey, Teleid. Rashi quotes part of the pasuk where it says, im, the im nekeva Teleid. This Teleid is an extra word. Hoisif lo hakosuv leido acheres b'nekeva. Why is it viewed as an extra word? Because in Pasuk Beis, we know that we're talking about a woman giving birth, because it said there, v'yolda zahar. It would have been sufficient for the Pasuk here, in Pasuk Hei, to have said, v'im nekeva, v'tama shivuayim. Why does it say, v'im nekeva teleid? So that conveys the idea of an extra leida. What do we mean by an extra leida? Double the time. For Zohar, 41 days. For Nekeva, 81 days. Or we should say 40 days for the formation, 40 complete days, and hence you would have to, the woman would have to discharge it on day 41, but 40 complete days for Zohar formation, 80 complete days for Nekeva formation. So Rabbi Yishmael is standing on firm ground with his pasuk. What did he mean when he said to the rabbis, he says, well, you're trying to bring proof from fools, umay raya min ashoitim. And his reference was to this test that they ran on the two shvachos that were condemned. What's the fallacy in that experiment? So the Gemara explains, Amar nekeva kodim ve'abur aboim yoimin Kami Zohar. Maybe the woman that had that found in her was the female, she actually had entered conception 40 days earlier than the time that they had these two women engage in intimacy when they were running the test. In other words, one of them had already been 40 days pregnant when they were given men to have intimacy with. So if that be the case, so then the test is totally inconclusive. The Rabbonan, why were they relying on that test? Answer, Samo de nafsa ashkinu. Before, the women were subjected to relations, they were subjected to the intimacy. Prior to that, they were given a type of potion which causes any pregnancy to be released. So that anything that would have been developing in them prior to the intimacy that they conducted 40 days prior to the execution, any previous or pending pregnancy would have been terminated because of this potion. Well, then that would show that it is a very reliable test that they ran. Rabbi Shmuel, who felt that it was not, what's his response? Iko gufo delo makabel samo. There are bodies, there are women that don't respond to this termination potion, and therefore the one that was pregnant with the female might have, in fact, had her pregnancy continue, so that the fact that 40 days after this intimacy they were both opened and one had a female in there, it might very well be that she had been pregnant already 40 days earlier than that. Amar lohem Rabbi Shmuel. Now Rabbi Shmuel takes the offensive to prove his point that there is a difference. Maisa the Cleopatra Malchus Nivonis, an incident involving another queen, Cleopatra. Her bondmaids were guilty of a capital crime. And as we said before, they were then subjected to a test. Ubotkan umotzon zocher l'arboim v'echod unikevo l'shmoinim v'echod. One of them had been pregnant with a male after having had intimacy 40 days before, and on day 41 we found a male developing, and the other one, having had intimacy 81 days before, we saw her with a female embryo, indicating that a female embryo requires 81 days to develop. Omru lo, so the rabbi said to Rabbi Shmuel, Ein mevi'in raya min ashoitim, don't bring proof to your position from fools. My taima, what's the weakness in this proof? Hach dinekeva israch arboin yoimin v'hodar i'aber. The woman that was pregnant with the female could very well have been delayed in conceiving. In other words, 80 days before her execution, she had been mated with a man. However, Yisrach Harboin Yomin means there was a delay of 40 days, and only then did she have again relations and become pregnant, so that her pregnancy is not really an 80-day pregnancy, it's a 40-day pregnancy. So how can Rabbi Shmuel think to rely on that particular test? Rabbi Shmuel, L'shomer Masrinu. Rabbi Shmuel says that these women were entrusted to guards after their respective acts of intimacy, so that the woman who had experienced the intimacy 80 days before her, or 81 days before her execution, from that intimacy onwards, there wasn't a possibility of her being with another man, and hence the pregnancy that she has was a result of that intimacy 81 days earlier. And here we see a female having developed, become noticeable as an embryo, day 81. The Rabbanan who didn't rely on the test at all, they say, Ein apotrobus l'arayas. There is no guarantor when it comes to matters of morality or immorality. Eimo shemer gufe bo oleho. Could very well be that the man she was entrusted to guard her, he had the intimacy. So the Rabbanan are saying, true, that she was given to intimacy with some man 81 days ago, but it could very well be that she didn't become pregnant from that and only became pregnant 41 days ago. And who did she become pregnant from? From the very guard that was supposed to keep other men away from her. The Gemara here asks on Rabbi Yishmael, the Dilma I Karuhu Lahach Dinekeva Ba'arboyin v'chad hava mishtakcho kizochor. Maybe had they opened up the woman that bore the female, not on day 81, but had opened her up 40 days earlier on day 41, you would have seen a developed nekeva like that of a zochor, indicating that all you really need is 41 days for the development of the nekeva. Omar Abaye, the Simoneon Shavin. Abaye explains that the two women that were opened up and had these fetuses removed from them were the same in their levels of development. So the Simoneon, their signs, their body signs were the same. So you have, as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, the woman who bore the female child had intimacy 81 days before, and it had reached the same level of development as the male embryo, which had experienced intimacy 41 days before, indicating that for female development you need twice as much time to reach this point called Yetziras Havlad. The the Gemara continues. When we learned the Mishnah, we pointed out that this opinion seemed to be the same as the first opinion, that no distinction is made between male and female fetal development. So the Gemara asks, the last opinion of the Mishnah seems to be the same as the first opinion, and that would be redundant. V'chitema, you might try to say, well, l'mistema reisha k'rabbanan, to make the first opinion a stam Mishnah, to be like the Rabbanan, who appear at the end of the Mishnah, v'yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabbim, and what we would gain is having a machlokes between the Rabbi Shmuel the Yochid and the majority opinion, that of the Chachamim, and that would indicate to us to follow the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Let's glance at a note in Rashi on this point of the Pshita. You'll notice in the Rashi, in the lower part of the page, a double star in the Rashi, where he says, Pshita d'stamo d'rabim hi. I don't need the Chachamim to appear at the end of the Mishnah in order to make the unnamed opinion that precedes Rabbi Shmuel into a majority opinion. It's obvious by the fact that it's taught without a name that it is the opinion of the majority. Since Rebbe presented the first opinion without a name, and we don't have any evidence of any singular opinion that says like that, therefore there's no need to have the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah in order to empower the Reisha. The beginning, the Gemara answers, Mahu de Tema, Mistabra Taima Derbi Shmuel, de Komasaya Le Kroi. If I would have just had the first opinion and followed by Rabbi Shmuel, I might have thought that Rabbi Shmuel is stronger than the first opinion. How is that? Because Rabbi Shmuel had the Teled Pasuk supporting his approach, doubling the amount of time for female formation. Therefore, Komashmon, therefore by stating that first opinion again in the name of the Chachamim, the Mishnah conveys the point that we are to follow that approach, which equates male and female formation against Rabbi Shmuel anyway. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that appears on the outside margin, the Nosei, and we indicate that this goes until Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Tiur, description, hitpatchut havlad b'me'imo, description of the embryo as it develops inside its mother's womb. In addition, we have some markings that we want to explain. So you see a bow tie form around the expression Dorash Rav Simloi. This introduces a repeating style of Gemara that will become more prominent as we continue later, Mirtz Hashem, in our next year with Daf Lamed Aleph. You'll see more of these types of openings of pieces of Gemara. Here we have Dorash Rav Simloi, and later we'll have other Dorash presentations. We also have a triangle highlighting the expression Lema Havlad Doime and Bime Imo. And likewise on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, you'll see another one of these, where the Gemara is asking, what is the forming embryo like when it's inside its mother? So we continue with our Gemara, and also note that we have a long point here. This is illustrated by the Nun that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and this continues till the third line from the top of Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. Dorosh Rav Simloi, Lema Havla Doime B'mei Ima. What is the developing embryo like when it's inside its mother? Answer, Lepinkas Shemekupo. It is like a pinkas. Pinkas is an old form writing tablet, a folded pad, if you will, a folded writing tablet. Umunach yodov al shtei tzidov. Its hands are on its temples. Ushtei atzilov al shtei arkevoisov, and its two elbows are on its two knees. Ushnei akevov al shnei agvoisov, and its two heels are on its two posterior buttocks. Veroshoi munach loy bein birkov, and its head is between its knees. Upiv sosum, its mouth is closed. Vetiburo pasuach, and its umbilical cord is open. In other words, the umbilical cord is attached to the mother, and it's deriving its sustenance from that. Veoichol mimah sheimoy oicheles, the embryo is sustained from that which the mother eats. Veshoisema sheimoy shoisen, it drinks from that which the mother drinks. Vieno motzi rei shemo yarogis imo, it doesn't produce any waste, because if it were, that would result in the mother's death. Rashi's explanation of that is that the womb has only a fixed size to it that accommodates the developing embryo, but additional material, like waste material, would cause things to rupture and endanger the mother's life. The kevon shiotzlav yoylam, and as it emerges into the world, at birth, niftach hasosim, the mouth opens, which was prior to the sealed, v'nistam hapasuach, and the umbilical cord is sealed. That which was previously open is now closed. Shilmole kein, if this wouldn't happen, eino yochol lichios afilu sho achas, it wouldn't be able to continue living even for a moment. V'ner dolok loy al roshoi, when it's inside the mother, there is a candle. We can understand this in a figurative sense, a candle that's burning above its head. V'tsofu mabit misofelem v'atsofu, and has the ability to see from one end of the world to the other. Shenemar behiloi neiro ale roishi le'oiroi ele choshech. That pasuk indicates the candle that's over the head of the forming child. V'al tetameh, and don't be amazed at this. At this possibility of seeing from one end of the world to the other, we have a parallel amongst each one of us at all times. Sharei Odom Yoshein Kan V'Ruach Halom Ba'Aspamya, a person can be sleeping here wherever he lives and see, have a dream concerning that which takes place in Aspamya, which is a location at the other end of the world. The Ein L'cha Yomim Sh'Odom Shori B'Toyva Yosem E'Oysen HaYomim, and there are no better days for a man other than those days that he was in a state of formation in his mother's womb. Why or where do we see them as featured by way of psukim as such a exceptional time? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Mi yitneni ki yarche kedem ki me aloka yishmereni." Who would only give me like those days? And in this pasuk, you see a reference to Yarche. Yarche is the plural of months. Ezu Yomim She, what are the days Sheeshbim Yerochim Veimboim Shonim? What are the group of days that is categorized as months and not years? Where do you have a grouping that of days that we calculate in terms of months and not years? Heve Omer, Elu Yarche Leda. Those are the months of pregnancy. A pregnancy lasts for 9 months. It doesn't add up to a year. So hence the pasuk when it says ki yarche kedem ki mei aloika, so we know that it's a reference to days that are calculated in terms of months and not a year or not years. That's a reference to the period of pregnancy. Umalamdin oisoi kol haTorah kula, and the embryo, the child, is taught all of the Torah. Shenemar, it says, "Vayoreni, vayomer li, yismoch, devorai libecha, shmor mitzvoisai v'chiyei." V'omer, and another pasuk says, V'soid elaka alei ohali. Now this, by the way, is a pasuk from Iov, Perek Choftes Pasuk Dalid, where just before we saw Iov, Perek Choftes Pasuk Gimel, and Pasuk Beis dealing with pregnancy and the embryo. So this pasuk, which mentions this Besoid Elaka Ole, is a reference to the Torah learning that the embryo experiences. The Gemara asks, "My v'oimer, what do I need the citation of this pasuk from Eov, Besod Elaka, when I already had the pasuk of Vayoreini, Vayomer Li, Yismoch Dvar Libecha, where we already saw that the child is taught all of the Torah from the pasuk in Mishlei." The Gemara explains, "The Chitema Novi Hu Dekomar." Had I just had the pasuk of Vayoreini Vayomer Li Yismoch, I might have thought that that is something that was peculiar to the Novi, to the prophet, but not something that applies to all of man. Toshma Besoid Elaka Ale Ohali. And this pasuk we already established is a pasuk referring to pregnancies in general, and not something characteristic of any one particular Novi. So from here we see that it's a universal experience where the child in its mother's womb is exposed to all of the Torah. The kevon shebol avir olam, at the point that it reaches this world, it emerges into the air, into space. Bo malach v'sotra al piv, an angel comes and hits it on its mouth, u'meshakhoi kol ha-Torah kula, and that causes the newborn to forget all of the Torah that it experienced in its mother's womb. Shenemar, the post says, the fetach chatos roveitz. The petach meaning the exit way, the doorway, which is the exiting from the womb into this world. Chatos, sin, is lying, meaning the forgetting of Torah. V'eino yoytze mishom ad shemashbien oso, a child is not born until it's sworn to oath. Shenemar ki li tichra kol berach tishova kol loshoin. The Gemara explains ki li tichra kol berach. Literally, this unto me shall every knee bend. Ze yoyim hamisa. That's a reference to the day of death. Shenemar lefonov yichru kol yordei ofar. That in front of the Almighty, all those that descend to the dirt, to the dust, bend. A type of surrendering, of resigning oneself to his ultimate end. Tishava koloshon, that was featured in the pasuk just quoted, ze yoim haleidah. How is that referred to the yom haleidah? Shenemar niki chapayim avar levov, asher lo nosa lashov nafshoi, or we read it as asher lo nosa lashov nafshi, the lo nishba lemirmo. Now that's a description of someone who's totally clean. That would be the newborn who has no sin whatsoever. So in this pasuk you see the lo nishba lemirmo, that the tishava koloshon is a reference to the oath taken by this one that is totally clean. It's a reference to the child that is about to be born. Umahi ashvur shemashbiyon oso, what is the nature of this oath that the unborn is subjected to? Tehi tzadik v'al tehi rasha, be pious and not wicked. V'afilu kolom kulo oimrim l'cho tzadik ato, and even if you experience a situation where everyone calls you a tzaddik, heyei beinecha karosha, view yourself as one who is wicked. Now, this would be in order to motivate one to constantly be on the watch to perform mitzvahs, so as to make sure that he, we say this so that he doesn't get comfortable. If after all everyone's calling you a tzaddik, a person can get too comfortable with that. So one should perceive himself as a rasha. We also, the oath includes this, that let it be known that the Almighty is pure and His servants are pure. Uneshama shenosan b'cha torahi, and the soul that is being placed in you is pure. Imato meshamro b'tara mutav, if you guard your soul in purity, avoiding sin, avoiding temptation and lust, that's good. V'imlav, if however one yields to those things, hareini noitlo mimcha, I will take it away. Taking away one's soul with its obvious connotations. Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, Moshe L'Kayin, Shemosa Chumel Amoretz, the analogy here of the soul being entrusted to the human being is like that of a Kohen who entrusts his Truma, which is the tithe given from produce to Kohanim, something that must be maintained in a state of purity, not exposed to Tumah. The Kohen gave his Truma to an Amoretz, an ignoramus. The Kohen warns the Amoretz, if you keep it in a state of Tara, that's good. And if not, I will, and if you don't, if it becomes Tomei, I will burn it in front of you. Same thing with the Neshama and the person. He's expected to keep it the Tara, and if he doesn't, so it's simply taken away. Omer Rav Elazar, here we have a new marking, and on the margin we have included here Mivneh, under our structural note, Sidra Shel Meimros Shel Rav Elazar, series of comments of Rav Elazar, Hakshurim Levlav B'meimo, that are related to the embryo that's as yet unborn. So Omer Rav Elazar, continuing at the top of Daf Lamed Aleph, my craw, what is the pasuk that indicates that the Vlad, that the embryo is subjected on the day of its birth, it's subjected to an oath. The pasuk says, "Mimei imei ata goizi." Mimei imei is a reference to the coming forth from the inside of the mother. Ata goizi. My mashma dahai goizi lishna deshabuihu. Where do we see the word goizi associated with oaths? So as to enable this pasuk to be a source for the idea that upon birth it's subjected to an oath. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Gazi nizrech v'hashlichi. Nizrech is a lotion of nizirus. Nizirus is one who accepts upon himself through a nether, through a type of oath, he accepts becoming a Nazirite, a nozir, forbidding himself from wine and grape-related products, as well as other things. So that you see the word gozi is associated with oath, neder, which is similar to a shivua, hence the pasuk before, mimei imata gozi, gozi is a reference to an oath. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.